This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Nichols Family Lawyers. Family law advice for the LGBTI community you can trust. We have expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, co-parenting arrangements, and arrangements for children after separation. Mention Joy and receive a free 30-minute consultation. Find out more and get in touch at nicholslaw.com.au. Nichols Family Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You gotta see the baby. When are you gonna see the baby?
Family Matters.
It's Family Matters on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, your favourite hour of radio. I'm David, and I'm joined by my very lovely co-host, Beck.
Oh, stop it, Dave.
This is the first time we've been on air since, like, December.
I know. Oh. This is beautiful.
And of course, we've got our very lovely producer, Gina. How are you?
Good. I'm a little bit scared to sit in between you two. The gushing love across the seas was a little bit...
Sounds a bit graphic.
Wait till later on.
Well, we can touch on Valentine's
Day. I know. The band's back together. It's exciting.
The band is back together. I'm actually really excited about tonight because we're covering one of my favourite topics.
Movies.
Films and television. Screen media. One of my favourite topics.
So yes. What are we talking about?
Well, kids' TV and the very lack representation of our rainbow families. But not only our rainbow families, as a Greek kid growing up, I really did not see myself. In fact, right now I'm still sick and tired of every time someone sees my surname, I get a joke about my big fat Greek wedding. It's not the only representation of a Greek on...
I was going to say Effie. My cousin Jimmy's here.
See, I grew up with that. And the fact that I didn't know I was a lesbian or could call myself a lesbian until I was 14.
So we've got writer-producer Tony Ayres coming up on the show.
Bit exciting.
Yeah, good catch for Family Matters and Joy 94.9. If you want to join the conversation, you can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au.
And we've got a new hashtag running tonight, following up from that gorgeous interview with our elders on Stand Up Straight, which, Beck, you were a part of that.
I know. Funny you should mention it.
What's the hashtag we're going to run?
Hashtag find Anne a date. Our beautiful Anne. We're going to get her a date. I've spent a lot of time trying to get Dave a date, but now I'm on the case with Anne as well.
So it's failed.
My ability to find romance has no boundaries.
And congratulations, Anne. 15 years of volunteering at Joy. That deserves a standing ovation.
Well done. That's hot. That's what people are looking for.
Exactly. All that and more coming up on Family Matters. You're listening to us, I guess, on Family Matters.
Welcome
Joy 94.9.
I didn't see anything.
Okay, go back in. Where's Principal Bates?
Who?
We're the only ones that remember him.
What do we have in common?
Nothing.
Back's last packet of beef jerky.
Yuck.
That's disgusting.
What was that?
Guys.
Everyone's just... disappeared.
This place? Why would anyone live out here when there's a town full of empty buildings?
Freak storm batters Bremen. Two moons in the sky.
Cool. Magic. Love it.
What's happening?
What's that?
And that was a trailer of Nowhere Boys Season 3, and we do have the luxury of having the writer-producer of Nowhere Boys in tonight. G'day, Tony. How are you going?
Hi, all.
Tony Ayres is Australia's most prolific award-winning showrunner, writer and director working across film and television. He is one of the founding members of Matchbox Pictures, now owned by NBCU. Tony was executive producer on the recent thriller series Glitch on the ABC and the live-action series, which we just heard from, Nowhere Boys.
Welcome, Tony.
Hi, Gina.
There's a reason I want to talk about Nowhere Boys Season 3 in particular. Now, you've been a part of Nowhere Boys Season 1, 2.
Yeah.
But Season 3 is a little bit different, and it's a little bit different for our rainbow families. I'm going to let you take us through what Nowhere Boys is as a start and what we just heard a clip of then.
Okay. Nowhere Boys is like an adventure comedy series, mainly aimed at teenage boys initially, although, as it turns out, it was very popular with the girls as well. And
almost 40-year-old lesbians, because I even went and saw the film.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been a tremendously successful show. It's been nominated for 2 international Emmys. It's won 2 Logies. It actually won an Emmy last year. It's basically won every kid show, every kid's award in the world. And it's sold all over the world.
Yeah.
The first 2 series was pretty much centered around 4 boys. The premise was that they get lost in a forest and then they find themselves, when they get returned home, everything's exactly the same except for none of them were ever born.
It's kind of an alternate universe. Is that the best way to kind of say it?
Yeah. They've slipped into a different universe. Everything's the same except the fact that they don't exist. So it's a little bit like It's a Wonderful Life. That idea. And then that's season 1 and they sort of... And there's a demon trying to erase them.
Of course.
As you do.
As it so often is.
And then season 2 was... they find their way back home at the end of season 1, but they've all got magic powers. And so season 2 is about magic powers and alternate dimensions and it's sort of, it's kind of a mind game, really. Yeah.
And then there was a film after a season 2, which featured the same 4 main characters that were in the TV series.
4 boys, yes.
Clearly, I watch this. I really like the show. And all your kids should be watching this because now in season 3, we have a brand new cast.
Yeah.
We have a brand new universe that they're going to explore in. But what I love about season 3 is, and this is why I want you here tonight to tell the audience who are our rainbow families why they should be watching. Are they going to start maybe seeing a few representations of themselves on television? Because I know when I think of our rainbow families, blink and you might miss us. I don't think you even have to blink. You are missing us on television at the moment.
I think what happened was that at the end of season 2 and the movie, our boys were growing up. We felt like we needed to refresh the show. And so we pitched this idea to the ABC, which they liked, which was that we were going to do season 3 a few years later and a whole bunch of new characters become the Nowhere Boys. And we had our first Nowhere Girl in the main cast. And it was a very deliberate decision for us. Like, if the first 2 series were modelled around, we used to call them No Direction. It was basically, like a boy band, really. And that was kind of why it was so popular with the girls. But in reforming the series, we really wanted to do something different and we really wanted to reflect a more diverse world. So probably the most flamboyant character is Jessie, mm-hmm. who is really into musicals.
Musical theatre geek, yes. I think he's.
And he is... a fabulous character, enormously popular amongst the fan base. Like it took the audience a little while to get used to the new cast, but Jessie has always stood out. Everyone loves him. He's full of life. He's full of flair, and he's gorgeous. And what's great about him is that he's not like any of the other Nowhere Boys that we've seen to date. And he's very much his own person, but he can fight. He does kendo, so he's got he holds his own, and he's got a superpower as well.
And he's got a superpower, and I think we can put it out there. Jesse's pretty queer, and it's not kind of put into the story to then tell the coming out story subplot kind of thing. It's just Jesse being Jesse, like another one of the cast members. So it's not there to go, oh, and here's a gay character. He just is, because that's what's reflected in that world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you know, brilliant.
And we have an Indigenous boy whose mother is the vice principal. Like we you know, we try to, you know, we have a Greek girl who's the soccer player.
Gina.
Maybe she could be her mum, Gina, in season 4.
Auntie Gina.
So how important is it to have diversity on Australian television?
I think it's really important for my company, Matchbox. Like, we do The Family Law, we did Barracuda, we did The Slap. We've got a Muslim rom-com coming out later on this year called Ali's Wedding. It's just, insofar as the people reflect themselves in the world, our company reflects itself because, you know, it's full of oddballs, really.
Sounds like our show.
It definitely is. Oh, we got more coming up with Tony Ayres on Family Matters. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
The kids are all right. As for our presenters, Family Matters, Joy 94.9.
It is Family Matters. I'm David with lovely producer Gina and Beck. Now, if you want to join the conversation, come on, text in. Ask Tony Ayres a question. It is 0427-JOY-949. Or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. Social media, Twitter, Family Matters 94. Facebook is / Family Matters on Joy.
You can find us anywhere.
But yeah.
We're pretty much everywhere.
iTunes, everything.
As Dave said, we are talking to the wonderful Tony Ayres about Nowhere Boys and the representation of LGBTI people, young people in that show. What I think is really important as well, and I'm interested in your view, is, you know, people say you can't be what you can't see, and it's important for people to see themselves on television. But I wonder whether, especially with young people, they can't embrace what they can't see. So for non-LGBTI young people, do you think it's important for them to see this character as just part of the gang?
Yeah, I think it's really important to get used to seeing people who aren't like you as well as people who are like you. And, I mean, I think that, you know, for me being kind of Chinese and gay, like, you know, I've still managed to have a whole life watching TV and movies and being able to relate to people. Like, you know, I can still relate to Tom Cruise as the hero in Mission Impossible. You know, like, I can still watch films like Star Wars and connect. And so, you know, I think for people who are different, we're just used to doing it. And for people who are not used to doing it, it's actually a really useful thing to do, because what it teaches you is how to live in someone else's shoes, you know, how to be in some, walk in someone else's shoes, basically. And that's basic compassion.
And yeah. And for you, when was the first time you saw an LGBTI character on the screen growing up?
Oh, God. We were talking. This was a long time ago. I think it was.
It varies for adult and children's programming as well.
Yeah, it was probably. Are You Being Served?
And I think you mentioned there are characters that we saw, or caricatures that we saw of ourselves represented on screen, where we're like, if that means that I'm gay, I don't want to be that.
I didn't connect to those characters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tony, another thing I'm interested in is I was reading an article today about the actor that plays in one of my favourite shows, Neighbours, that will shock no one, plays Aaron in Neighbours, and who's an out gay character. And the headline was, I can't remember the actor's name, but it was such and such not afraid to play gay. And I wondered whether there's a reluctance on the part of straight actors to play gay characters.
Not in my experience.
Yeah. They want a job, probably.
Yeah, no. Straight actors love playing gay characters. They always win awards or get nominated for things. And
we've had Keegan Joyce on Please Like Me. He plays Josh Thomas's boyfriend.
Yep.
He's straight.
I wondered whether that was a...
I mean, I haven't met actors who have been reluctant so far in my career. And, I, you know, I've been around a long time, so...
In kids' television, someone like Jesse, is he finding it difficult to play this role where he's openly musical theatre kind of geek? Yeah. You know, is he naturally flamboyant in personnel, like in real life, or did he really struggle to play this role?
No, he connected to the role, I think. I mean, what's kind of interesting is that they're at an age where sex isn't an issue. It's not, you know, it's not a story about, you know, someone coming out and discovering sex or just, I think what makes Jesse relatable as a character is the fact that he's kind of on an adventure with a whole bunch of other guys. And the fact that he's different does come up sometimes. And I think we're talking about the potential season four at the moment with the ABC. And mm-hmm. if we do go that way, I think there's a lot of room to explore those questions with his character.
And there's another character who doesn't sort of come to the front at the moment, but he's a friend of Jesse's.
Yeah.
Am I coding this right, that this is a gender-fluid character that we are finally seeing in children's programming on Australian TV?
Absolutely. Yeah. Her name is Claudia, mm-hmm. and she is, you know, Claude, and she's kind of...
Got a great shaved head.
Yeah, yeah. She's awesome. Beautiful actress. But basically, you know, again, we hope to explore that further. As you know, we wanted to use season three to introduce these characters. I mean, because the show is really designed for 8 to 12-year-olds. You mm-hmm. know, like it's not a teen show. We wanted to represent a diverse world of people, but at the same time, it's still got, you know, the thing that pulls them all together is the adventure.
Have you had any negative feedback for putting these characters in your show?
Not that I've noticed, but then I tend not to look.
Yeah, stay away from Twitter and those sorts of things.
Yeah,
I mean, that's brilliant. That's brilliant if you hadn't. I just want, you know, there's always someone in society that's got an issue with everything.
Yeah, I'm sure there has been, but we haven't been aware, you know, alerted to it.
Yep. Well, I don't think parents would notice if they weren't looking for it. And I don't think kids have an issue with this. Yeah. I think it is parents going, oh, my God, when they hear about it in the news. I mean, it was only last year, actually, the first night we went to air was the first day Play School played their Gay Dads episode where it showed, you know, when you look through the glass, look through mm-hmm. the window, and we had a Gay Dads episode. Now, that was the second gay family to be represented on Play School in 50 years. And still applauds, massive applauds for Play School for doing that. The first year they did it, I think, was in 2004, and there was massive backlash.
I remember the playing. Backlash
for that. Yeah, every politician was jumping on their little box.
And wasn't that the girl from Puberty Blues?
Yes. Yeah. Well, she turned out all right. She won a Logie and everything.
That's right.
So clearly, you know, bit of representation.
So, Tony, you feel like you're pioneering in children's TV to get these characters on Australian TV. Why aren't we seeing it in general? Why are writers and producers reluctant to have more gay representation on TV?
I actually think, you know, outside of children's TV, we're doing okay in terms of queer representation. I think that
we're definitely getting better.
I think we're definitely getting better. There's definitely not such an issue around it. You don't get questioned about it when you put a queer character into a TV show. That, you know, all of that is fine. I think that we're still a little bit squeamish when it.
In the romantic kind of...
In sex, basically.
Yeah.
We're not... I don't think Australian TV is great at sex scenes in general, straight or gay. You know,
Wentworth was pretty good.
Wentworth is pretty.
Tony, what about, aside from queer representation, what about culturally diverse representation? Do you think there's a way to go there as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think we're at the cusp of a changing conversation at the moment. I think things are, like, I've been around for, you know, 25 years, and I think 2 years ago I would have said nothing's really changed, but in the last few years I do think something has changed, and it's with the networks. You actually, you know, when you're talking to people, it's, you know, you have, for instance, Jessica Mowboy fronting a show on Channel 7, which is a commercial TV show, and she's amazing in it. So I think that there has been a shift in the conversation, and I know that the ABC, for instance, is very proactive in pushing questions of diversity and talking to producers about it, and of course SBS does as well.
I know Screen Australia, and this was a report they released basically that looked at Australian television. And what it was, this report, Seeing Ourselves, Reflection of Diversity of TV Drama, and they looked at about 199 TV shows, and they were looking at main characters. And it looked at the period from 2011 to 2015. Even in that time, we've seen massive shifts in television in the last couple of years because of online content. But what was really, it wasn't really surprising, the results that came out of this study. So they found 18% of main characters in that period were for non-Anglo-Celtic backgrounds compared to 32% of the population. Only 4% of main characters identified a disability 18% of our population identify as having a disability. So the statistics are pretty shameful. 5% of main characters were identified as LGBTQI, whereas we know it should, like, 90% of our population is, is, or how I like to say,
well, this room.
This, well, this room, yeah, this studio at this point in time.
I'm the minority. It's fine. Yeah.
So I know that I think that report was really good at bringing this conversation to a head for, yeah, our producer. I think the producers were already thinking, mm, this. Do you think it's the networks? Is it advertisers? What's kind of maybe
holding us back?
Yeah, what's, yeah, holding us back, do you think?
Well, I think what's changed the conversation is that it used to be that when you made a TV show, you tried to appeal to the broadest possible market. So you would they tended to be blander shows. And television's kind of television drama or scripted television has undergone a bit of a revolution in the past, you know, 15, 20 years. And the more these days, it's actually, rather than it being about appealing to a broad spectrum of people, it's actually about appealing very strongly to a niche. And so the work is becoming much more, particular, much more about, you know, creating a world, about being really truthful to that world and being noisy, you know, like it's always about, you know, and the words, we have buzzwords in TV, like, you know, at the moment the buzzword is sticky. I don't even know what that means.
Sticky.
Yeah. Sounds uncomfortable.
I know. It's, well,
sounds after something. 9 o'clock, really, to be honest with you.
That might be for the Bears. Yeah.
Maybe the Bears might do that. We are talking with writer-producer Tony Ayres, but before we go to a break, we have got some donations, everyone. Ooh. We've got Trevor from Bond Beach has donated $50. Keep up the amazing work. And Jan from Bond Beach as well has donated $50. So Bond Beach is the place to be on Thursday night for Family Matters.
Wow.
They're probably having a Family Matters party.
Yeah, Jan and Trev.
Jan and Trev. Anyway, you are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
Hold tight. Family Matters will be back shortly, so don't go far. But if you do miss any of the action, our Family Matters podcast will help you get up to speed. Visit joy.org.au/Family Matters, your lighthearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Berrystreet.org.au.
It's Family Matters. It's Joy 94.9. It's Thursday night. I'm Dave.
I'm Beck.
I'm Gina, the lovely producer.
And I didn't know the microphone was on at the end of that song.
Don't admit your mistakes. We have Tony Ayres in, one of Gina's idols, because Gina loves movies and TV.
I do.
Yeah. Gina's fangirling.
I'm fangirling, hardcore. We've even got a young little work experience student here from Unicorn U.
We've got Matthew. Just yell out hello.
Hello.
There he is.
Well done.
He's not allowed to talk yet.
He's learning off me tonight. Ooh, that's a bit scary.
That is scary. Now, talking about representation on television, as a, you know, white, heterosexual, middle-class girl, I was everywhere. I was mainly Penny on Inspector Gadget, but, you know, whatever, we all have our thing.
Or any of the misfits that come through the caravan park in Home and Away.
Oh, I was Sally. Still am. I think I am
Radio
Kate Ritchie.
Radio superstar, yeah. Kate Ritchie.
Yeah. Frank.
She's my spirit animal. Anyway, Dave, what about you? When did you first see someone like you on television?
Oh, I'm supposed to be prepared for this, aren't I? I don't know his name, but he was a gay character on the TV series Skins.
No.
Now, I think it was the original, which was the US series.
He was the blonde one.
Which is a very, very attractive guy. Yes. But
that's why you thought it was you, mate.
No, well, not me, but I think it's the first time I saw gay people or a gay person on TV, I think. That would be my first experience. I don't think it was like I saw myself, but definitely like
did you like
experience.
Seeing yourself on screen? I mean, Beck was tuning in every channel she could flip. And
yeah, there
was.
I was everywhere.
I reckon at the time I found it really intriguing seeing that on TV. Seeing
how old were you?
Oh, I don't know. It might have been like 17 or 18.
So you were in the teenage.
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah. Yep.
But you had the language to define yourself as.
I probably didn't at that stage. Uh-oh. I probably roughly knew, but I probably was not sort of. I didn't probably haven't accepted myself at that stage. But it was addictive TV.
I remember. Obviously, it wasn't seeing me, but I remember the first gay character I ever saw was Ellen. when she came out. Really? And I remember, I mean, how long ago would that have been? 25 years ago?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Some time ago.
So I was probably young, like youngish. And I remember it being on the news and it being a big thing. But I didn't quite understand what it was about. I knew people were talking about it, but I guess my parents probably didn't explain it to me or whatever. And I remember thinking something big is happening, but I'm not quite sure what it is in that bookshop.
See, for me, and I still remember, and I think it set a type for me, was the first lesbian kiss wasn't actually, well, it was two women kissing on screen that I saw, was L.A. Law. But they didn't use the phrase lesbian. They used bisexual. Mm. And then my type was set in gorgeous older British lawyers, and that's what I was attracted to. I didn't actually know the words to define myself as lesbian, as butch lesbian.
Butch lesbian. Butch love that term.
Bradley butch lesbian until 1994, and it was an episode of Roseanne.
Ah.
And that's when I think Sandra Bernhard went on and kissed, not her, but I think her girlfriend kissed Roseanne in a nightclub. And it was the controversial, and it was on the news. It was there, everyone was talking up. This kind of, you didn't even see the kiss. You kind of just saw two heads moving together and it was blocked out. And it was the controversial Don't Ask, Don't Tell episode. Mm. And it was that then when I go, oh my, that's me. And I was really happy to see myself. I always thought the younger daughter with the long hair, what's her name?
Darlene.
Darlene would have come out as gay.
Yeah.
She has now and she's a rainbow parent. But
they were big things. Like huge. They were on the news. And then I think, I don't know, it was like then Will and Grace happened and then everyone's like, oh, yeah, fine now, we're over it.
And you kind of can't have a TV show without a gay character.
Yeah, that's right. It's like there's something missing.
We've had some help in the blonde guy from Skins that I was thinking of. Somebody's texted in, please, come on, name your I like putting a name to a text message, but there's no name here, but it is Maxie from Skins.
That's right.
That's what it was, Maxie. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There you go. Tony, I'm interested in your view about whether you think that having queer characters on television is important for conversation starters for people. So, you know, if a kid's struggling with coming out or something like that, they can say to their parents, that guy on Skins, that's me, or...
I think it's really important for kids in regional areas in particular, like if you're not from, you know, one of the bigger cities where you can kind of go to places. I think it's actually really important because I think when you're more geographically isolated, you can really feel as though you are the only one, and sometimes you can be the only one. Whereas I think if you're in a city, for instance, I mean, even in a city, there are the suburbs, like there's the inner city and then there's the suburbs, and you know, so I think I think it is really important.
Because sometimes television's, I guess, that thing that could bring people together, or everyone has that common.
Yeah. I mean, TV operates a bit like a community thing now. Like TV creates a sense of community for us, and that's how people use it. Like,
and it's still one of the most accessible mediums. I remember when we were moving to digital and they were supplying older people with digital set-top boxes because they realised, like radio, TV is still one of the most accessible forms of media that you can get a message out to people.
Not as superior as radio.
And but also, you know, not everyone has the internet. Not everyone engages with the internet.
But you sort of think about it. Like, you know, we often use TV as a way of kind of connect. Like, you know, when you love a show like Mad Men, you just kind of love it because...
Binge on it. Yeah.
Because, you know, you love the people. And that sort of forms a community. Like, and especially these days when we're increasingly busy, we're increasingly isolated. It actually has that function, and I think that can be a good function if you include other kinds of people in it.
Mm.
House Husbands does it for me. I love that.
Yeah,
it's got a gay character, Kane, in there as well.
Exactly.
It's got kids, and then.
And that's
going to be you, Dave.
It probably will be. Mm.
And that's why I'm a huge fan of Nowhere Boys, because for me, this is probably the first time for children's TV. And I'm talking Australian TV content that we've really seen true cultural diversity, LGBTI diversity for that children's kind of market. And like you said, it's kind of that 8 to 12 year old market. Yeah. When we're looking at kind of family TV, it broadens out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Modern Family with Mitch and Cam, the classic Rainbow Family, even had, we covered it when I think Joe Hurst was on, they even had a trans actor in one of the episodes. But there's another great show that you've been a part of that I'm a huge fan of, Benjamin Law. Can you talk us a little bit? The Family Law.
By Benjamin Law.
By Benjamin Law. It's only just his life.
There's a lot of law.
There's a lot of law. We got the lawyer. in the
story
house.
Of my life. Yeah.
can you tell us, because that's more of, well, would you call it a family show? Because it's about a, well, I'll let you.
It is. I mean, it's basically about a sort of dysfunctional Chinese family. It's set in the Sunshine Coast, and it's the season one was basically the summer where the parents split up, and it's the effect of that breakup on the five kids. And the central character, Benjamin Law, played by written by Benjamin Law, played by Tristan Goh, is pretty camp.
To say the least, he's also a musical. I'm seeing this musical kind of theater.
There is a musical
theater.
Theme, yes. Well, he's a musician. He plays clarinet.
Yeah.
And but he's determined to be a TV star, like as you know, an actor, and so you know, you have gorgeous things like him getting an agent, Beryl Streep. And,
you could have watched his face. It's hilarious. Yeah. It's the most dysfunctional kind of.
Well, it'd be like being at work for me.
It's very heartwarming, and it did phenomenally well for SBS. They were very happy with it, and we're doing season two at the moment.
And again, you know, when we're talking about cultural diversity, how was it casting a show like that?
I mean, it takes a bit more time because you just don't have that pool of actors. But really, what's from all my experience of trying to cast in a diverse world, you do find people, you know, you absolutely find people.
And when we're looking at diversity, be it disability, cultural, LGBTQI representation, should it be starting at the story or should it be starting with should the casting director be going, well, I'm just going to pick anyone here? Where does that consideration need to be put in place when a creative team sits down and says, great, we've got a ton of money, we've got an 8 o'clock time slot. Yeah. Go.
I think that there are two ways. There are a number of ways of approaching it. Firstly, you approach it through colorblind casting. So you know rather than having a set view of how the world should be, you just open up for the best possible actor. And my example of this is on Nowhere Boys, where in season one and two we had a character called Sam, and he rode a skateboard. Came from a perfect family. He was the golden boy, and he was literally written as the blonde boy, and we cast a Pakistani Maltese guy.
Gorgeous. Yes.
You know,
we are going to be talking more about diversity with Tony Ayres just in a quick moment.
There's more from the Family Matters team in just a moment on Joy 94.9.
Family Matters, Joy 94.9. How excited is it? Are you, Beck?
I am big Kev excited, Dave.
Big Kev excited.
We have had a message.
A message.
What? I know.
Who's it from?
It's from Betty.
Oh, we love Betty.
Our photographer, Betty. Hello, lovely Joy volunteers and guests. Yes, with 3 exclamation marks. So Betty's excited too. Gina, I remember L.A. Law, lesbian couple. And the first lesbian movie I saw was Liana. Mm. Or Leanne. Am I pronouncing that properly?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. And Betty does usually supply me with DVDs that I've yet to see. Desert Hearts was the one I caught up with, and now I'm a proper lesbian.
I was going to say, didn't Betty set out to give you all the lesbian movies?
Well, this one was not in my intro. You know where my intro is, Betty. You're more than welcome to drop it off. So please, if you've got the DVD for that.
Yeah, and Go Doggies as well.
Yeah, that's right.
How did we type that?
Because Dave and I will talk about football in anything.
Footy's kicked off this year. Yeah.
Oh, yes, Betty's a huge footy fan. Very loyal fan.
Sorry, back to the show.
Back to the show. Back to diversity.
Back to normal programming.
Yeah, that's right.
We're too busy looking at each other for football.
Tony, is there any more work in the pipeline over the next year or so to do with more diversity on television and movies?
I've got a new show that I executive produced called Seven Types of Ambiguity that comes out in April. It's kind of interesting because we sort of put a bit of diversity into the cast, the original cast. It's a book adaptation. The original cast was all white, and we sort of, you know, mixed it up a little bit. And then there's the second season of a show that I do for Channel 7 called Wanted with the beautiful Rebecca Gibney.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love this show because it's two women on the run from a bunch of men, and they
like
never.
My life. No.
You know, they part pass the, what's it, the Benchley test, the Belcher
yes.
test, whatever it's called.
Yes.
Anyway, they never talk about yeah. romance with men. Mm-hmm. They mainly talk about how to get away from being killed
yep.
by men.
I love that's how we
sensible.
Pass the test.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're doing season two of that. That's super exciting. And season two of Glitch, which is the supernatural show
yes.
I do. And season two of Family Law.
Oh, wow, do you have a moment wow. to sleep or relax, Tony?
It's been a full-on time. Yeah, it's been a full-on time.
Now, we, I mean, as a queer filmmaker, I know I look to write diversity into a script. Do you think we need to be writing more, or we need our allies to be thinking of cultural and...
The pressure
the
on
pressure.
Us!
Yeah. Like, can our allies write our stories, or do they really need to start hiring all writers like me to come
think
and
that,
work for them?
It, certainly in terms of detail and understanding the world, it's always good to, you know, go to the source.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's great to have more diversity in the actual writing rooms, and that's something that's a conversation that's actually happening mm. right at the moment, particularly with the ABC and with SBS. It's about how to get more people from different backgrounds involved in the actual writing process. Absolutely.
And do you think we're, like, should our audience be out there writing to networks going, we want to see ourselves, or do you reckon we're going to get there in the next couple of years? There won't be the need for
it's
that.
It's kind of
we're going to be saturated.
I think it's changing, but as you can, you know, as you know by seeing what's happening in America at the moment, mm. you can change back as well. You know, you know, society doesn't progress in an upward.
No.
You know, there are swings and roundabouts.
And the one thing we were touching on, I remember when we first started seeing, like, Mardi Gras aired on television, which is going to happen in a couple of weeks, and you might hear our voices kind of pre introducing some of that show. Anyway,
music.
That's music.
Sweet, sweet Mardi Gras.
Sweet, sweet Mardi Gras. And I remember how I saw in the news, especially when it was first, I think, was it ABC who first broadcast?
Yeah, ABC first broadcast.
Yeah, they first showed it. And I was hearing things in the community going, why are you always showing the bits of us in with feathers and glitter and blah?
That's
and
right,
people
yeah.
kept saying, no, some of us are really conservatives. Why can't we see that? We need to show diversity within our own diversity, don't we?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would sort of say that there are some really boring floats in Mardi Gras as well.
And are we seeing that in television at the moment? Do you think we are really showing a true reflection of our...
I think we've got a certain kind of acceptable, you know, lesbian and homosexual on TV at the moment. I don't think that we get very far into the complex truth of our lives.
Of the subculture,
subculture. I just think that, you know, life is more complicated than we tend to
yeah.
show.
Well, Tony, I'm so thankful that you've come in tonight.
Oh,
and
pleasure.
I'm
pleasure.
So thankful
fun.
For the content
yeah.
you've been making because, and I'm going to say it again, Nowhere Boys is exactly what I know some of our rainbow families want mm. to be showing their kids and just to be showing themselves on screen. And I think it's Australian television. It's brilliantly cast. It's you kind of have 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, that's
3 degrees of separation to one of them.
I know. Jessie's mum does a footy podcast and I know her. So, see, football brings people together.
It does.
Yes. You're basically in the industry now.
I'm basically on Nowhere Boys. That promo sound a little bit scary though, Tony, and I'm easily scared. Will I be okay if I watch it?
I think you'll be okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah. If it's aimed at...
Yeah, okay.
It's aimed at 8-year-olds. And there's a bit of magic.
Okay.
I think you'll be okay.
Maybe Gina can watch it with me.
Yeah. Well, what we might do, we might share a link on to how to watch Nowhere Boys Season 3 because it's already been on air.
It's been on. I think, I'm not sure if it's still on iView. I think it might still be on iView.
I think
you can binge it now.
Yeah, you can
I'll be racing home and watching it right now.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you, Tony.
Massive thanks.
Pleasure.
And
I've
loved watching Gina just blush over one of her idols all night. So thank you, Tony.
He just likes to see me blush.
And now we go from Tony to Katy Perry. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. 60 minutes goes so quick on Family Matters, doesn't it, Gina?
Certainly does. Sorry, I was just gushing over Tenny Ayres because he's, like, seriously worked
your
on
idol.
The Slap, Barracuda, Nowhere Boys, as we were talking about, The Benjamin Law, like, Glitch, so many TV shows.
The Family
shows
Law.
Where,
you can
Family Law, sorry, Benjamin Law, because I love
he's
Benjamin
probably got
Law.
One more accomplishment to do.
Nah.
He hasn't been on The Woods yet.
And
we've
Speaking
got,
of
we've
the
got,
woods.
We've got Bear Curious Dean here to give us a quick preview.
Woof, girl.
Ah,
you're doing my good material.
I know.
What's coming on the bears?
I've got another one.
Well, tonight on the woods, we're going to get to know a little bit better our newly sashed Mr. Vic Bears 2017.
Ooh.
It's Mick, and also first runner-up Freddie. So, let's get to meet
all
some
the big names.
Rub shoulders with bear royalty. Mm. I know, right?
Can I touch them on the way out?
Is the work experience yes, boy Matt allowed to stick around, or have we just moved to a different time slot?
Different time slot? Maybe, sorry, Matt. Maybe not. Maybe it's a bit racy.
Now, you've been a big ambassador for hashtag Find David Date.
I know. How's it going?
Well, it's getting a little bit better. It's starting to progress, but I hear that our Big Bear Mark is fresh on the dating scene.
I know.
What?
I know. Yeah. Big Bear Mark has a fella.
Oh. Wouldn't you know?
You know where I heard that? On the Woof Grapevine.
Oh.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, here every Thursday.
It's a leather sash. Oh, my God. I want to try it on.
Oh. Mr. Vic Bears.
He's modelling his leather sash outside the studio right now.
Hello, you know what? Christmas.
You know what? I'm going to set myself a goal. I'm going to win Vic Bears 2018. Do you reckon I can?
Oh, it's good to have a goal.
Do they have Vic Twink 2018?
Go for the Olympics like me, 2024, because the beard might take a little while.
I think I've got more chance of winning Mr. Vic Bear than you do.
Well, there's an idea. Woman. First woman female bear. Mr.
Yes,
Vic Bears.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it's out of that.
Wow, this show's gone somewhere.
It has. It has been Family Matters. I'm Dave. Gina's, you've done a great job getting your idol on air. And Beck, Beck, you're just Beck.
Oh. Dave, this is the first time we've been on the show together for months. You finally got your idol back, which is me.
What's coming up?
What's coming up?
You got a Woof Girl joke or anything?
I did it before.
Do it again, Beck.
Woof Grapevine says Mark's got a new boyfriend.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.